Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm Jim Simmons and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. We believe that tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this beautiful fall evening?
Well, just wonderful. And I do thank you, Jim, for such a kind introduction. And certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome those who are joining us here on Ask the Pastor this evening. I also would like to thank those who listen by archive. I realize that oftentimes in the day in which we live, people's schedules are very dramatic, shifting, carbs and jello sometimes. It seems like you're either bouncing to, from work, grabbing kids, grabbing church programs. And so when you have the time, when you find the time, we're thankful you spend some time with us on the program Ask the Pastor, where we take some time to study the Bible for the purpose of finding out what does the Bible actually have to say. I fear sometimes that there are programs that sometimes make it a point of simply wanting themselves to be heard. And although it can be a tempting thing for a speaker, what we want to know is what God has to say to each of us. So we spend our time going into the Word, sharing lessons, sharing prayers of encouragement, an intercession, but simply trying to find out what God would have us to learn from what He has documented in His Word. Sometimes these are lessons of faith. Sometimes they're ways to walk in a way that honors Him more. Other times it's lessons on how to be a better witness. But this is a very special time of year, a time when we observe and celebrate and honor the birth of Christ. You can debate, you can argue, you can wonder about what's the actual date and when did he come through? Here's what I do know. We have set aside a time for that purpose, and we observe it throughout the month of December, honoring and remembering the birth of Christ and realizing that there was specifics about it, specifics that encourage and give us confidence. One of the specifics we're going to look at tonight is the many different ways in which this was a fulfillment of a promise that he would come. And so not only did he manifest himself, show himself, and walk amongst us, but it was the fact of when, where, how, the way it was announced, the very method. All those things were foretold. And so his very birth is something that offers us encouragement and confidence to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the birth of our Savior was by no mere accident, that it was, in fact, divinely inspired and encouraged and announced by God with a very specific purpose in mind. All those things come together in a very special and wonderful way for which we give thanks. And in these weeks leading up to Christmas, we choose to take the time to celebrate that fact. And that's one of the elements we'll do tonight as well, to simply celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, for a very specific purpose. And so throughout the month, we have been observing different elements. We'll continue tonight. We'll continue next week. And the week of Christmas, even though our broadcast comes on a Thursday evening, which means in this case it'll be a day or two after Christmas, that's the night we'll spend honoring, celebrating, praying, and giving thanks for the birth of Christ. Tonight, we're in that other element of celebration, the announcement of his birth. So, Jim, let me ask you now to get us started in the right way, as always, by opening us up in prayer.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to study your word. Father, we ask you to superintend this study tonight. Give Dr. Lyons, I pray, clear direction and the exact words you would have him deliver. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear your word, but may we put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Before Pastor Lyons begins tonight's study, let me take this opportunity to suggest that you invite your friends and family to listen and be a part of Ask the Pastor. Remember that after the Bible study time, you can call to Ask the Pastor your questions by calling 646-716-7765. If you're listening from our archives, the number to call to leave a question or a prayer request is 866-275-4472. Then choose option 1 and just leave your first name and a question after the tone. Additionally, we'd encourage you to visit our website. That's www.writelyons.com. That's writelyons.com.
And, Jim, let me add one more thing in regarding to the phone numbers. Those of you who are listening to the program live through the Internet, perhaps on a smartphone, something of that nature, you'll notice on the display there that we have that number that you can dial in locally live. But I want to draw attention again to the archive number. It's toll-free. It's 1-866-275-4472. When you dial that number, you'll hear an operator come on giving you a selection of choices. You can jump right to option 1, and by doing that, you'll be transferred over where you can leave a voicemail. And when we do, what we ask you to do is include your first name and then your actual comment, prayer, or question. By doing that, what happens is we get something that we can turn around and put up on the program, and so people can hear your question. You'll hear it yourself when you're listening in a later archive episode, and we'll be able to answer that and share it with you so your question is addressed and not neglected. So once again, just remember that as an option if you're listening by archive. You can dial in at 1-866-275-4472, and that is option number 1. Thank you.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are little more than a teenager, and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings. Make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle age, and finally as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy today.
And we welcome you back and joining us. You know, it really is an exciting time of year, and I realize that sometimes you can look at the news and think it's anything but exciting, maybe even a little devastating to depressing. But let me tell you, it is an exciting time of the year. We easily have to make a choice each and every day. We can listen to the discouragement of the news media. We can listen to the discouragement sometimes of those around us. Or we can remember that God said that he loves us, so loves us, and that he walks with us and he talks with us and he shares with us. And anytime we're willing to set the time aside and get into his word on a daily basis, life can be special. So this very special time of year, when we choose to celebrate his birth, we're just looking for all the different ways we might do it. And again, I want you to know I'm realistic. I've had some years that were pretty devastating, whether that was losses or loss of loved ones that happened right around Christmas. I still came to the point of remembering it was God's grace that got me to that point, God's grace that would get me through that point. So I encourage you, if you're having a pretty rough Christmas, maybe it's a drain financially, maybe it's a drain emotionally because of a loss of a loved one, or you have a loved one who is in sustained sickness at this time, know that God's people are praying for you. And the more you let us in, the more we can be a part of your life and share and pray with you and help you get through those times. They are difficult, and while they're happening, they seem like they go on forever. But the reality is, God is working and giving you the measure of strength and encouragement that you need. So before we get any further, I want to just take a moment and pray for those of our listeners who are dealing with a very challenging Christmas season, perhaps because of the illness of a loved one or an issue that's going on in family that you haven't shared with us yet, but just by the sheer numbers, we know what's happening. So let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I just lift up individual listeners who are dealing with a very difficult time right now. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they have a loved one who's in the hospital even now. And intensive care is almost an understatement for what is going on in the hearts of these individuals, both the one who is sick and the one who is a caregiver. And Father, there's others who maybe they've gone through a divorce. Maybe they've just simply been left. Or maybe they have a child away that they can't spend time with, that they want to spend time with. I pray, dear God, that they would have the comfort, encouragement, and love that they need at this very, very special time. I pray that you would give them that extra measure of strength. And for those who know them, who are of faith, who maybe hadn't thought to realize that they do need to get involved and try to be an encourager, that you give them the right words to say and the right things to do. Sometimes it's just being there to put an arm around and encourage. Other times it's just maybe bringing a meal over and trying to spend some time with them. Whatever the right thing to do is, Lord, I pray that you give us the wisdom to know it and also to know when to hold our tongue. Sometimes our presence is more valuable than our words. So help us to know what would be the right thing to do. And again, Lord, I lift those up to you who are hurting, feeling troubled, and feeling alone at this time, that they'll know and feel your love. And all these things we ask, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there is a wonderful little song called Once Upon a Hill, and it really does speak, I know people think it only of Easter, but the reality is it's Christmas as well. Jesus came to this earth to, yes, come to a manger, come as a child, but he also came to go to a cross. And his demonstration of love and grace and mercy to us, so very special and so very unique, that really, once upon a hill, we gain something we can never lose and have our lives changed in a way that can never be touched again quite the same way.
Happy ever after, 'cause my life story started once upon a hill. Once upon a hill is all it took. From hidden shame, my heart's been changed. My life's an open book. It's never been a mystery how the fiction became real. 'Cause my life story started once upon a hill. I've never laid clear to see he's laid his hand on me. My life story may not be the world's bestseller, but they won't have to read between the lines to see that once upon a hill is all it took. From hidden shame, my heart's been changed, my life an open book. It's never been a mystery how the fiction became real, 'cause my life story started once upon a hill. It's never been a mystery how the fiction became real, 'cause my life story started once upon a hill. My life story started once upon a hill.
And that is so very true as we come together this evening to do a very special thing, to celebrate Christmas and to give thanks that a prophet announced the very birth of Christ. And the exciting thing is to know that that announcement came in the Old Testament hundreds of years before his birth. And so when I say a prophet to announce, I mean, if you think of it, these were prophets from the Old Testament. And what's wonderful is to look at the verses in the New Testament and see the fulfillment of the prophecies. So yes, Christmas is special because the birth of Christ was announced by prophets of God, announced so that we would know, first of all, for those who lived in that time, that there was a reason to be confident of a joy of what was coming, a Savior which would be born. And for those of us who have lived in this time, to be able to look over our shoulder and realize it truly is a miracle of God the way he so loves us. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 13 through 16, tells us a powerful announcement that Jesus' mother will, in fact, be a virgin. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." Now that seems like a little odd way to say it. Most of us are familiar with that. Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." We know that both from the scripture. We've certainly heard it sung many times from Handel's Messiah. That message is declared through all types of Christmas music and all kinds of Bible studies for a very important reason. It is the essence of the promise that the child, Jesus, would come born of a virgin. Why? Because he needed to be born of a virgin. Remember, sin is passed down along from the man's side. And therefore, with the joining of the two, we get that old sin nature involved. Now, certainly Jesus had to deal with all that we have to deal with, all the temptations. But he also, because he was born of a virgin, did not have the actual essence to sin. He could feel the temptation. It was every bit real. But we also know he was every bit committed as a son of God to be that perfect offering for you, for me, because he had to fulfill something that you and I could not do. From birth, we tend to stumble. We tend to fall into sin. From birth, he was obedient to the Heavenly Father. And what's that other information there about he will refuse the evil and choose the good, and the land that abhors shall be forsaken both of your kings? What do you realize? That at the time, Israel was a divided kingdom with kings of both north and the kings of the south. And ironically, at the time that Christ came, Israel was controlled by Rome and Caesar, not two kings. but by Caesar. And so in other words, he said you'll be forsaken of both your kings. Here's that, a little slip of a piece of prophecy that people hardly even notice. But it's telling them at a time when they couldn't conceive of not having two kings, that there would be a time when they didn't. Fulfillment, as you and I know, can be found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. In case you're curious about that name, the Bible says, which being interpreted is God with us. How so very true that is, to know that Jesus, or Christ, would come, born of a virgin, and truly for the first time God would be with us. First time since the Garden of Eden to walk with him. What an incredible moment. What an incredible blessing. Christmas is special. There is an announcement by a prophet. There's an announcement in prophecy that comes in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Jesus will come from the line of Abraham. That's certainly a comfort to the Jews. Verse 3 of Genesis chapter 12, and I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a promise going to Abraham at that moment. Where is it fulfilled? Where is the answer to the promise? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So we have the prophecy from the Old Testament in Genesis. We have the answer over in Matthew. Why are these prophecies of any significance or importance? Well, I think one of the things you have to notice is, first of all, the consistency of God. The fact that he makes a promise, he honors a promise. It's not something that's a half promise. It's not something that's situational. The reality is if God says it, that settles it. Again, there used to be a song that for a short time was popular. I'm glad it was a short time because it was cute, but it wasn't doctrinally sound. The line from the song simply said, God said it, I believe it, that settled it. And what initially sounded so cute, a lot of people began to think about it and realize God said it. That's what settled it, whether we believed it or not. And so that is so true. When God says something and gives us a promise, we can count on that promise. And it's exciting as believers to see the promise made and then to realize it will be honored. Because there's also so many things he's given us, such as salvation, such as eternal security, such as a promise to return. And with all of those things coming together, it is a comfort to know that he will come and that he will spend time with us. Now, Jesus will be a descendant of Isaac and Jacob. The prophecy for this is given to us in Genesis 17 and 19, and also in Numbers 24, 17. So in Genesis 17, 19, we read, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. See, the promise there, certainly it's at the moment that we're looking at Sarah bearing a son. But what was exciting in this context for Christmas is that there was a covenant that was being established that would be for everlasting, and the seed would be passed down. Numbers 24, verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. What's he talking about? He's talking about that star coming out of Jacob, that rising out of Israel. We're talking about the coming of Messiah, which is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And with this, we find the coming of the Christ. And so this prophecy is so powerful because it is the assurance of the line of Jesus coming. Jesus will be born in the town of Bethlehem. Prophecy back in Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Again, a passage that's so easily overlooked. But verse 2 begins, but now, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, little Bethlehem, little tiny city, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel. Whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Isn't that exciting? Little Bethlehem, a small town, a small city that could easily be pushed aside and neglected in prophecy and in history. But there's a prophecy all the way from the Old Testament and the small book of Micah, a prophet that's telling us by the anointing of God that there will come our Savior out of little Bethlehem. It's fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. An amazing thing, isn't it, to think that tax collection could be used for the glory of God? Well, it was here, because in doing this, it caused everybody to report to their, in essence, like a central city. And for the situation we have here, we have Mary and Joseph coming back to the location where Jesus will be born. It has been prophesied back in Micah. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. This is basically helping us to know the time element of when this occurred. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. You see, it's interesting. We realize that Mary was a virgin. We realize that she was carrying the child of God. But what's interesting is that God protected the very lineage, so it would be supported and encouraged appropriately from both sides. If Joseph was going to be able to be a figure, like a dad, if you will, to Jesus, even though he was not his father, God was his father, he also would have to have the correct upbringing to honor and to teach this child the lineage of David. And so there was a purity to the lineage, both from Mary and from Joseph. Yes, Mary is a mother, God is the father, but the influence, that incredible influence of an earthly father and an earthly mother would be in harmony, speaking together of the truth of God. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Simple little reminder to us as well, that little phrase of swaddling clothes, that's a rough fabric. That's the fabric that's used for when they prepared the body for the grave. That was an indication of the desperate times and the moments, the travel, the roughness of the moment. And yet this child comes into the world ready to give his life, born to die, born in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Why? Because the world had no room for them, but God had room for us in his heart in a remarkable, in a powerful, in a very special way. You know, one of the things that we have tonight is another miracle, because our dear brother Jim has had to do some traveling, and I see he's been able to join us again, and I believe about now Jim should be alive and well with us. Are you there?
Pastor?
Yes,
we've
sir.
Landed. We have reentry.
Excellent, excellent. For the benefit of our listeners, you've had to do some traveling, and even though you were kind enough to open our program earlier, you were had to be away while you were on your flight and have been able now to rejoin us. So welcome. I believe, Houston, we no longer have a problem. You have landed, so we're very thankful for that fact.
Well, it's good to be back. Sorry I was away for such a long time.
That's quite all right. We've been in the process of sharing with our listeners some of the excitement as we prepare for Christmas, because what we're celebrating tonight, as you know, is that there's a prophet that announces his birth, his coming, his anointing at Christmas. We've talked about how Isaiah made that announcement and fulfilled in Matthew. We talked about how, you know, the line of Abraham, that he's a descendant of Isaac and Jacob. And we just mentioned how he was born in the town of Bethlehem, which was fulfilled when Mary and Joseph came into Bethlehem because of the taxes that were taking place. A remarkable time in history. Before we go any further, let me give you a moment and an opportunity to share what you think of, as we approach Christmas time, of the incredible miracle of the virgin birth of Christ, our Savior.
One of the thoughts you have is there's so much more to it, Pastor, that you've taught us about, that the Holy Spirit was the one that came upon Mary, what a miracle that is, and that that when Joseph was, in a dream, said to not to be fearful and to continue with Mary, because of the Jewish custom back then, it could have been, very embarrassing, and there were so many cultural situations going on, and it's just amazing how all of that just was laid out perfect, and how it went just according to plan. Pretty miraculous, every bit of it.
It really is. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was yet another prophecy that came actually in the New Testament time, where Joseph was put at ease about the fact of this birth taking place. So there's even one more prophecy, Andy Mitchell. I've been focusing on the Old Testament ones. Here you found one on the New Testament, an assurance that was being given there. That's very special. You know, we had another one from Genesis 49:10 that Jesus would be a member of the tribe of Judah. And this is amazing to think. Hundreds, if not thousands years before his birth, we were already being given details of who and how he'd be born. And yes, he'd be of the tribe of Judah. Prophecy from Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And this, of course, was fulfilled in Luke 3:33, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. So Old Testament, he'll be of the tribe of Judah. Fulfilled in the New Testament, he will be of the tribe of Judah. And so these prophecies are just one more example of how we can trust God. I mean, yeah. We think of the prophecies, and it's an assuring thing to know Jesus fulfilled the prophecies in his birth. But what I was thinking, and Jim, again, your thoughts about this, if we see a history of God giving us a promise and that promise being fulfilled, doesn't that just sort of reinforce for you that when he promises things about the way we live, when we pray, our very salvation, we can trust him, Jim? What do you think of that?
Well, it's so interesting that you bring that up, because we both have a friend that just got some very bad news, and it's amazing how God gives us in our minds the scriptures that apply, and also the Holy Spirit is there to teach us how to give comfort in a time like this, and all we have to do is, just like you said, we go to the scripture that reassures us and tells us, well, if God did that back then for them, I'm part of the family because I've accepted Christ, so I should expect that he'll do the same for me. So, yeah, I think that's what the Holy Bible, I think, really demonstrates, is here's God's holy word saying, children, here's my nature. Read about me. Learn from the one who created it all and has all of the formula. And so, yeah, I think the Holy Bible throughout gives us God's nature and what to expect and what he expects.
Oh, that is so true. And such an assurance to know that God always has the right thing to say, but he's no politician. His words can be trusted. His words are faithful and true. And from cover to cover, we can trust what he says in his word, and it can give us peace, and it can give us joy, because in the most difficult moments, when a loved one is ill or sick and troubled, we have a peace that passes all understanding, and that revolves around the fact that we can trust God. We're going to take just a short break just to share some information, and then we're going to come back to the scriptures. One of the things that we want to mention tonight is that we have this past week brought up on our website, our Christmas section. This is a special section that traditionally we brought up right on Christmas week. This time we decided to get it out there just a little early. So if you go to the website, and Jim can certainly remind you, it's www.rightlions.com, and that website will, of course, tell you more about our ministry, what we're able to do, some of the things that we try to communicate, some of the books that are out there. But smack in the middle of the menu, you will see Christmas Special. And if you go there, you'll see not only the cross up on there as a reminder that he began in a manger, came to a cross, rose from the grave, and moves into our hearts. But you'll also see some of the resources we have. We have some scriptures relating to the Christmas story. Maybe this year, as you gather your family together, you'd like to spend some time. Jim, is that something you do with your family, to simply go through the Christmas story from the scriptures?
It absolutely is. I mean, if you think about it, and we've talked about this, tradition, it's something you have to learn what this is about, because if you grow up watching television, as I did as a kid growing up in the 60s, you get a distorted view, not so much early 60s, but as our country strayed further and further away from God, and we kind of forget this is an one nation under God. We keep forgetting that. So the traditions and what the true meaning of Christmas is, and it's not Xmas, it's not holiday season. You know, people try to dilute it. It's none of that. It is the birth. And you know, I love this description that Christmas was the day that God came down the staircase of heaven with a baby in his arms, the perfect gift that expressed exactly the giver's heart and was exactly what the recipient needed, a Messiah, a Savior. So Christmas is not just Christmas, not a time to just get presents. We should stop and think, this was the perfect gift, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. What a special, powerful thought. I appreciate you sharing that with us. There's some other resources you'll find on the website there, and encourage you to go down on that left column. You'll see some of the selections that you have for Christmas information. And you'll notice also, by the way, right between Jim and our smiling faces, a little segment in there that's you may not recognize at first when you read it, because you'll say, I don't know those words. Well, that's because it's Merry Christmas, but Merry Christmas in several different languages. Jim, you probably are already aware, but maybe our listeners don't, that we're currently actively listened to in 11 different countries. And so throughout the United States, but 10 other countries. So we've tried to wish them all a Merry Christmas, and you'll see that scrolling in the various languages of our listeners out there. We're thankful that they understand English well enough, since our English is probably a whole lot better than our Russian and Hungarian and some of the other languages. But at least for myself, anyway, I know that much. So I can eat the food better than I can speak the language. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, just when you think of Christmas, the food is such a big part of the culture back then, and it is today. And that part, you know, I think we've got that down pretty good as a society, as a country. But the true meaning, we've strayed from that. And you know, you and I do this quite often. We pray for a revival in this country, that we can get back to how this country was founded, and the followers of Christ who framed the Constitution. And you know, we just forget all of that because it's not on cable TV right now.
Oh my! You started to cross over to meddling now. You have to be careful now when you start talking about cable and watching TV. For those, by the way, who can't find what channel, real quick, when they're looking for Ask the Pastor at Christmas, when you're in our Christmas section, top right of the screen, you'll see, go to Right Lines Blog Talk Radio, Ask the Pastor Christmas Special. So it's pre-set up for you. So if you go there now, you'll get to look at the screen, but you won't hear much since we haven't done it yet. However, when that day comes, that's the quickest way to get there. By the way, you can scroll down and hear last year's Christmas program from 2012. So we set that out there for you. If you'd like to get a little flavor, maybe start celebrating Christmas a little early, that's one way to do it. And as we before we get back to our Bible study, you'll note on the top left of that screen, as I mentioned a moment before, that we've got the cross of Calvary up there. And just a little reminder, before we go back to our study, I want to let people know that, yes, the blood is still there. It's the cross of Calvary, the celebration of an empty tomb that we are so thankful for, to know that the blood of Jesus Christ really does cleanse us from all sin.
One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. With the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep. But one little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the lamb had to die, why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain it had still remained, but he wanted to be sure. So he called out to his earthly father with trembling voice so scared, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?" He said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow, the rain may fall, but it don't wash that away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Stay secured, you can rest assured that the blood is still there." Looking over the damage Satan's storm had left behind, the flood of endless questions, doubt had filled my mind. The fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me back to my knees in prayer, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?" He said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secured, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Safe, secured, you can rest assured that the blood is still there."
Welcome you back with this message that, yes, the blood is safe and secure. And the promise from the Old Testament that Jesus will enter the temple is important because, you see, the temple was destroyed in AD 70 and has never been rebuilt. The prophecy is in Malachi 3:1. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye shall seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And remember, that was the prophecy before Jesus had even come to this earth, fulfilled in Luke 2:25-27. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, the Bible tells us at that moment that Simeon was truly and greatly touched and changed because he had lived to see the presence of Christ in the temple. Jim, what do you think about it? What an incredible answer to a promise.
I it's just all amazing. And, you know, Pastor, every time I think of the cross and I think of the blood, it tells me how serious sin is. Sin is not something capricious or something unimportant to God. It's he can't tolerate it. He can't look on it. He will not tolerate it. And the only thing that redeems is blood. Just like the old days when they had animals to provide the blood on the altar. Well, Jesus did that once and for all. So his blood keeps cleansing us of all unrighteousness, not just what we've done in the past or when we came to Christ, but in the future too. And not just for you and me, but for anyone that will step out in faith and say, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Christ, died for me, and that when I do that, I am saved forever. I can never lose my salvation, and it all starts with the blood.
Wow, so very true. And I think that had to just be that much more powerful for this man, Simeon, because he was actually working there in the temple. He was seeing the daily and weekly blood sacrifices being made. And amidst all of that backdrop, he sees Jesus come in, at that point as a child. But the very Spirit of God had already worked in his life to let him know this was his answer that he had been longing for, praying for, and awaiting. So yes, I mean, to realize that there would be the sacrifice once, final, forever, taken care of. That's why we get so excited at Easter time, to realize that the sacrifice was accepted. That's why the veil of the temple was ripped from the top down, because God himself split it off, said it's no longer necessary. I've accepted the promise. You know, Jesus will be upon the lineage of King David. The prophecy is in Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The answer came in Matthew 1:6, and Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of Herod, and of the wife of Uriah. And the scripture continues on down till we realize that truly Jesus is in the line of the king of David, a prophecy from Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament. And Jim, I've heard pages turning, so I'm presuming that you have a scripture that you would like to share with us, perhaps from the heart, perhaps from the page. What you got for us?
Well, Pastor, I just, you know, when we think about Christmas, the virgin birth, and all that God has done for us, aren't you glad that we do not believe falsely like some that I've got to be good enough? I got to keep trying. I got a ritual to do. He did it all when he went to the cross. Now, you know, it's interesting because we remember back, the Romans didn't kill him. He went voluntarily. He knew what this was about. He was all God and all man. He knew this had to be done. He understood why. And to me, it's just amazing, because if I believe like some, how do I know when I've done enough or when I've been good enough? You know, you hear people say, well, he was sure a good man. And, you know, and you ask them, are you saved? Well, I tried, you know, I tried.
No one's
sure. And so what we have is blessed assurance. We don't have to guess. It's not about what we'll do or what we've done. It's about what he did. Mm-hmm. Very reassuring.
It really is. I mean, I love that fact. You know, the old hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Just to know that we have that peace, and if people are wondering, where do you get that kind of confidence, that peace? I mean, how can you really know? Well, it's because we choose to believe God. We choose to believe His Word. When you go to the Scriptures, and you find that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you do that, if you act on it and choose to believe God, then what you realize is you never have to look over your shoulder and say, I wonder if I did enough. I wonder if I've worked hard enough. I wonder if I've persuaded God enough. The truth is, you did what He said. So it's no longer a question of how good are you, how often you've tried to do the right thing. The question now is, either God answers His word and honors it and keeps His word, or it's not going to matter at all. And when you believe God and when you see what He does, that's why you've got the peace that passes all understanding. You know, one more of these little prophecies out here, Jesus' birth would be accompanied with great suffering and sorrow. And we wondered, it said, suffering? It's, yes. Jeremiah 31:15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, bitter weeping. Rahab weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. That's a prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah. In the Old Testament, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of wise men, was exceeding angry, wroth. He said, forth and slew the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he was diligent and inquired of the wise men. So here is Herod, the leader of Rome, putting children to death out of his own fit of anger. And that was prophesied back in the Old Testament. They knew that with the coming of Christ, that an earthly leader would feel threatened. One thing about earthly secular leaders, when they're threatened, they lash out in anger
right.
in an incredible way.
Pastor, you know, that's what I was going to say, that, you know, I get a little involved in our neighborhood government and our city government, but when they feel threatened, it's amazing what'll happen and what they'll do. But I think when it said, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, he wasn't just angry, he was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children. Now, you know, you kind of get over that, and you think how horrible, but when you stop and think, two-year-olds, there are people listening, I'm sure, that have two-year-old children or nieces, nephews, and you think about the viciousness of that. And what came to mind when I was listening to it is he was also, was he not, concerned about Jesus bringing a government that would rival his and take
exactly.
some of his power. Yeah.
And so if he hears a prophecy that says that the Messiah has been born, a child, a babe out there, he's taking no chances. Everybody from 200,
right.
let's kill them all. Let's not take
right.
a chance. That's what a secular leader does when he's determined to retain power. He's not afraid to kill children if that's what it takes. And you know, you say, well, that's shocking, that's Old Testament, I'm thankful I live in today, that which I live, where out of convenience we have a court that can say it's all right to murder children. After all, they're not real children, they're just
right,
you know, an
right.
embryo. So I guess things haven't changed as far as we'd like them to change.
Well, you
the
know,
reality
Pastor,
is that when secular leaders go too far, they go too far. I'm sorry, Jim, what did you have to say there?
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if this happened and God is preparing us and teaching us, I mean, if you believe, like you and I believe, that there is not an extra word in any of the Bible, there's not a missing word, there's not some of it true and some of it not true, it is absolute. And that word is kicked around a lot today. There are very few absolutes. So we know that God is not only telling us what happened here, but is he not just telling us this could happen in our time too? this could get bad. And when we see the number of abortions and the argument, the Supreme Court waiting in, and you look at this scripture and you say, thank you, Father. You prepared me for this. I have already seen what man can do and how our minds, full of sin, are bent for sin, how far it can go. So we're prepared. It's not like we don't – nothing could surprise us. When I open the newspaper and I see horror and I see viciousness, and sometimes it's in the back of the paper where, you know, it's a different country, it's still man. It's still the viciousness and depravity of man. So
right.
I think God is saying, hey, guys, wake up. Look here.
Mm-hmm. And that is so very true. I think we have to, you know, it's easy to read some of the things that happened in the Old Testament to the New Testament with the Romans and say, oh, that's unbelievable that any nation could turn so far from God. Well, guess what? There have been other nations who turned far from God. Some of them are literally just a matter of history as a result of that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Others
mm-hmm.
have come in, and they still have never recovered from the judgment that had to roll in upon them. And then I ask you, how can we be so egotistical as to think we would be spared if we choose to take God's name in vain and curse his son and not humble ourselves, pray, and seek his forgiveness and grace? So at this very special time of year, at this incredible time of year, when we are so keenly aware of the gift of his son, I think it behooves us to humble ourselves and to give thanks and to remember as a nation the blessings, the grace that we have. It really is from a heritage of people who put God first in their daily lives, and we need to be doing the same thing again. And
right.
One thing that happens again and again that always amazes me is how quickly our time slips away. So, Jim, I tell you what, since you were traveling so much, why don't you take 2 minutes and close us up and share what's on your heart as we begin to close out our program this week?
Well, Pastor, I would just like to say that, you know, earlier I had a discussion in the book of Isaiah that you quoted earlier about the butter and the honey.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Well, yes.
Guess what? I love butter. And I was explaining to a flight attendant, we were talking about different philosophies about health and food, and I said, you know, we finally are seeing scientists say, instead of margarine, that butter might be better for us. It was in the Bible. Jesus ate butter and honey. It has to be good.
I agree.
So I'm just amazed at how Scripture, it seems antiquated sometimes, and it's hard to get our arms around it. But, we don't have much time, so I just want to tell you that was phenomenal that you brought that up tonight.
Well, it's been my observation that when you have a scripture that seems antiquated, it usually means that we just haven't advanced enough to understand it yet, and we will be surprised one day to find out the truth. I also follow that axiom that, you know, the only problem with donuts is that all the fat is in the center, which is why we poked that little hole there to get rid of it. But we truly are a people blessed because God has given us promise after promise after promise, and with each promise we have seen so many fulfillments of the promise of a Savior. So I encourage all of our listeners by archive or live to celebrate Christmas every day this month, recognizing the fact that we have a promise of a Savior, and we equally have the reality of a Savior, because it's not just prophetic, it is reality, and we can take the time to share the truth of God's Word with the world. And so with that thought, I bid you a good night, and thank you, Jim, for joining us once again.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@rightlions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, We encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.